Zephaniah chapter 3. Sing, daughter Zion, shout out loud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back to your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, a mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppress you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. The scripture this evening from the prophet Zephaniah is a scripture full of hope and faithfulness and promise for the future. It's beautiful. It's also extremely different from the rest of the book of Zephaniah, one of those tiny little books towards the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah was a prophet during the reign of King Josiah. In the grand scheme of Old Testament kings, King Josiah was actually a pretty good king. He started a lot of reform. He found the book of the law, pretty much the book of Deuteronomy in our Old Testament, and he had it read out loud to the people, and he started to expect that they would follow God. He brought back the celebration of the Passover, and he destroyed the altars that the people had made to false gods. However, Zephaniah arrives on the scene, and he declares that even all this reform isn't good enough to make up for the trouble that the kingdom is in. In fact, the first 2.5 chapters of the book of Zephaniah paint a pretty dark picture for the future. These are some of the things that Zephaniah prophesied before we get to what we read tonight. He says, God says that I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. I will sweep away humans and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the seas. I will make the wicked stumble. I will cut off humanity from the face of the earth. Zephaniah goes on to say that the great day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet, blast, and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. And those are like the tame parts of the book of Zephaniah before we get to what we read. So needless to say, the kingdom is in trouble. And they're unable to turn from their trouble, and they're conquered and they're sent into exile. And yet, despite all of that, Zephaniah ends with these words of hope. In the midst of despair, Zephaniah declares that God is faithful. In defeat, Zephaniah declares that there is victory in God. In a time when the people had no home, Zephaniah declares that God is going to bring them home. In the midst of sadness, Zephaniah declares that we are to rejoice. In oppression, Zephaniah declares liberation. In the midst of a time of fear, Zephaniah declares that the people don't need to be afraid. Because Zephaniah teaches us that we're loved by God. And God is faithful, and God will do anything necessary to bring us back to him. Now, you might be wondering why this is the scripture we read during the Advent season as we prepare for Christmas. Well, we read this scripture because in many ways, this is the story of Christmas. That in a world full of despair and struggle and fear, God arrives and there is hope and promise and future. That's how it was in the first Christmas. In a time when the Jewish people were oppressed by Rome, Jesus was born, bringing hope of a new king. In the midst of fear, angels arrive and announce to all who will hear that people don't need to be afraid. The main characters in the Christmas story are people who are down on their luck, people who don't have much, people on the edges of society. And it's there that the baby Jesus arrives. And with the birth of Christ, the world is saved. The world is given hope. The world is given a future. And this promise is still true for us today. As we approach Christmas, we know fear and despair and hopelessness all too well. We know those feelings in our own lives. We know when we've been overcome by anxiety or failure. We know those feelings in our relationships. We know when we have wanted so badly for somebody that we love to turn around or to change, and we feel the despair and hopelessness when it doesn't happen. We know those feelings in our world. We know what it's like to turn on the news or to hear stories of destruction and violence happening throughout our country and our world, and we feel like there's no hope for peace. Yet, into our world, into our lives, the real world, the real lives that aren't perfect, that struggle with hopelessness and fear, that's where Jesus shows up. Jesus arrives on the scene even in the midst of despair. The good news of this scripture and the good news of Christmas is that there is always hope. With God, there is always a future. And God will go as far as necessary to secure that future, even sending his only son to earth as a baby born in a manger. Just like the people hearing the words from Zephaniah, God cares about our futures. God wants to give us hope. God takes great delight in us. God is with us. God saves us. That's our good news. So we don't have to be afraid. God is faithful. We don't have to despair. Christ is coming. We don't have to lose hope. God secures our future. And as people who aren't afraid, as people who have hope, we trust that our futures are secure. And so we can share the good news with others. Like Zephaniah, we can proclaim a God of hope. But before we move into communion this evening, I want to share a poem by a woman named Jan Richardson. She writes this. It's titled, "Blessed Are You Who Bear the Light." Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and grief. Blessed are you in whom the light lives, in whom the brightness blazes, your heart a chapel, an altar where in the deepest night can be seen the fire that shines forth in you, in unaccountable faith, in stubborn hope, in love that illumines every broken thing it finds. The good news, that we are never alone, that we don't have to be afraid. We start to see that good news when Christ is born in a manger, as a baby, when it's proclaimed that God is here. And then later, on the night in which he knew he would be arrested and tried and crucified, Jesus gathers with his disciples, and he takes bread, and he gives thanks to God, and he breaks the bread, and he gives it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper's over, he takes the cup, and he gives thanks to God, and he gives it to his disciples, and he says, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for forgiveness of sins." Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. We ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory. Amen. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup. You're welcome to come forward as you feel led. I'll ask my server to come forward.
As we drink this cup, we worship you.
As we eat this bread, we honor you.
And we offer you our lives, as you have offered yours for us.
We remember
we remember your covenant.
Go forth knowing that you don't have to be afraid, because there's hope found in God. Go forth knowing that you don't have to despair, because with God our future is secure. Go forth in the name of Christ. Amen.